What we've been saying until now is talking about the heter, if you will, to learn Musar before davening, which doesn't require such a heter, why not? But even Bamsa HaLimud, there's this Indian of learning Musar because it gives you a charge in the middle of the road, you know, like extra chizuk, and he points out that that's mutter to do because, but just like you're allowed to sell tavua with a little bit of, you're allowed to say a kilo of tavua, but it has 20% preservative in it, that's still called tavua. So you're allowed to learn Torah and have some Musar in the middle. You can pick up a Mesillas Yesharim in the middle of learning. But that's what we've been saying until now when we talked about the history of the Musar movement and what they were for and what they were against and what they argued about, etc. Okay, I would like to learn Shar Dalad Perek Yud. Please have you have open up your Nefesh HaChaim. We went through Ches and Tes, which was mostly like a history lesson and a polemic against Musar. But I want to get here to Perek Yud, which is the Etzem Hadavar of Limud HaTorah.
Did I miss Perek Tes?
You didn't miss it, but I spoke it out, but I'm skipping it now for a reason.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you for noticing, Dan. Okay. Hi, Shui. Okay, Perek Yud. Again, what we've been saying until now is talking about the heter, if you will, to learn Musar before davening, which doesn't require such a heter, why not? But even Bamsa HaLimud, there's this Indian of learning Musar because it gives you a charge in the middle of the road, you know, like extra chizuk, and he points out that that's mutter to do because just like you're allowed to sell tavua with a little bit of akav chomatim in it. Shui, do you want to mute?
Here's all. I need people to mute.
Yeah. How do I? Okay, everybody's muted. But talk if you want to say something, please don't hesitate to talk. But just like you're allowed to sell tavua with a little bit of, you're allowed to say a kilo of tavua, but it has 20% preservative in it, that's still called tavua. So you're allowed to learn Torah and have some Musar in the middle. You can pick up a Mesillas Yesharim in the middle of learning. But that's what we've been saying until now when we talked about the history of the Musar movement and what they were for and what they were against and what they argued about, etc. But Perek Yud is Linyan Neinu. Perek Yud, because the reason I say it's Linyan Neinu is because it's all history, you know, the Musar, learning Musar all day and locking yourself up and learning Chayvus Halavos for 2 weeks. It's not what we're doing these days for the most part. Sukta Nefesh HaChayim, Perek Yud. U'bishas ha'esek v'ha'iyun b'tayra. During the time that one is learning Torah, let's learn that he was medayik in his words, so let's be medayik in his words. B'shas ha'esek, toiling v'iyun b'tayra. Vadai she'ein sarach oz l'inyin ha'dveikus klal. You don't need to do any dveikus. This is the gevaldike klal. You don't have to do any dveikus because sheba esek vadai she'ein sarach oz l'inyin ha'dveikus klal. Why? Kanal. Perek beis. Sheba ha'esek v'iyun levad hu davuk b'ritzaynei. This is dveikus. Learning Torah is dveikus. It doesn't get any better than that. Hu davuk b'ritzaynei v'diburai yisparach v'hu yisparach v'ritzaynei v'diburai chad. So he's positing here, which I think is a chiddush, and I'd like to elaborate on it a little bit, that when you learn Torah, you don't have to be mechazik yourself from the outside with Sifrei Musar. Now we're talking about somebody who's learning Torah lishma. And maybe the purpose of the Musar is to make it more lishma, or to get rid of the shalai lishma, like, you know, but Be'etzem HaDavar, learning Torah is learning, is Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Good. 2? 25. But sometimes it's said I need a pay, let's say 200.
Okay. I have another job here of muting. So let's be medayik down his words. When a person learns Torah, just the words, who davuk Birat Sinai, 1. Diburai is Dibur, 2. And now watch this. Vahu, and he, meaning Hashem, capital He, Hu Yisparach, Urit Sinai, V'Diburai. So there's three things here. Hu, Ritzainai, Diburai. And then there's Halacha Lamaisa, if you will. It's important to understand that these are not just, it's not just a sentence, a poetic sentence, Hu, Ritzainai, Diburai. It's all different things. Yeah? So, there's Hashem. There's the Ratzon of Hashem. There's the Dibur of Hashem. And then there's our doing. That's not even on the list. That's when you do mitzvahs. Normally, just to explain this, when it comes to human beings, so like we get an idea, we want to do something. There's us. First of all, there's us. Let's look at it that way. There's me. What are my existential questions? But then, let's say I want to do something. I want to build a house. I want to go somewhere. I have a ratzon. I have a ratzon to go to, to go to visit the Netherlands or something. Probably not a good idea. So I have a ratzon. Now, again, we're talking about the human experience. A ratzon could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. You have to examine your ratzon, yeah? And then there's taking the ratzon and articulating it. That's dibur. Let's speak it out, and Maisa, let's do it. Machshava Dibur, Maisa. So that's us. That's with us. We have our us. Like, can we think this way for a minute? We have us. We have our Ratzon. We have our Dibur. Three things, and then we actually go ahead and do it, whatever it is we're doing. We build the house. We take the trip. We buy the car. Whatever it is what we're doing. It's not all, you can't say it's all one thing. Because a person is a person. And being that a person is a person, not everything, there's me, and not everything that comes to my mind that I want to do is good. There's Yetzer Hara, there's Yetzer Hatoiv, Ratzon Hatoiv, Ratzon Hara, Taiva. There's all kinds of garmim to what I want to do. So I try to filter it out a little bit, but by the time I get to Dibur, if I'm doing the right thing, so I'm at another level of articulation. So hopefully, like, I am, I want, I thought it through, and I get to the point of Dibur, and this is a Davar Yashar, until I get to the point of Maisa. But there are various filtering that go on in between. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Yisparach Uritzainai V'Diburai Chad. This is the Etzem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's that he and his dibur, he and his ratzon, and his dibur are all one thing. Why? Because a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have a ratzon ra. A Kodesh Baruch Hu's dibur is all part of his essence. There's no, this whole inyan of toiv v'ra up there doesn't exist. So if it doesn't exist, we could say who is who. Yisparach uritzainai v'diburai chad. To analyze it a little bit more, and before we go further in the next paragraph, he's saying a big thing here. First of all, we've learned this before in Shar Gimel, that the ratzon of Hashem is a higher place than the dibur of Hashem. So if you look at it on a chart, so you have Hashem, his ratzon, his dibur. Now, this is one thing is clear here, that when it comes to the who, Hashem himself, Atzmusa Yisbarach, we really don't have any malach. We don't have any musag, and according to the Torah, we're not even supposed to think about who Yisbarach, and we don't think about what was before the world and what was after the world, and, you know, we don't think about who Yisbarach. What we think about is Ritzoinai. What is the Ratzoin of Hashem? Think about what Hashem is, it's impossible to understand. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaro. It's not that, by the way, it's out of our realm of understanding because it's too deep or it's too holy or anything, something like that. It's out of our hasaga because we don't have it. It doesn't have anything to do with the human experience. It's not even something that we can think about. No matter how esoteric you are and what a bekubula you are, you're not talking about who yisbara. You know, it's a pella that I always mention this. It's a pella that when we daven, we say that the way to daven is shivisi Hashem lenegdi summit. That we're supposed to imagine Hashem in front of us, but we can't think of Hashem. If you start thinking of what Hashem is, you're out. Like, you know, you can't think of Hashem. So that's the who. However, Ritzaynai, we have a little bit of a mahalachin. It's not so easy. And Diburai, well, you can read the Chumash. Diburai. So now here's the chap. Then when you're Isaac, since Hashem Echad Ushma Echad, since there's a complete Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Mamela, when you're learning on the bottom of the chain, which is Diburai, so then automatically you're Mistabek to Ritzaynai, and automatically the Ratzon is Mistabek to Hubatz Musay. So therefore, when you're learning Torah, you're learning Hashem. Yeah? Everyone understand the mathematics of that? Understand is probably the wrong word, but understand what I'm saying? You're taking, it's like when you take a chain and you swing it on the bottom, the whole thing is swinging, even though we have no idea what's going on at the top of the chain. We don't know what's going on at the top of the chain, but when you're swinging it from the bottom, you're swinging. So when we're learning Torah, this is the uftu of the Nefesh HaChaim here, that when you're learning Torah, you're not learning about Hashem or something different than Hashem, you're learning God. Let's learn some God now. He says here, let's look at the second paragraph, and I just want to explain a little bit more. V'hu inyan ma'amarim zichreinam levracha. This is what Chazal mean in Shmais Rabbah in the Medrash. Adam l'gea chefetz. Let's say you go buy something. You go buy a car. So shemi yachal liknais ba'olav. Are you buying the owner of the car with it? No. You buy the car. The car is something separate from the owner. So you don't get the owner when you get the car, unless you're hiring a rabbi. So there, you get the whole chatz of it. But normally, you get Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nosan Torah LeYisrael, he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, V'yomer Lahem, and he says to them, Kivyachol, Lashon HaChazal, Li Atem Leikim. You're getting me. It's not like you're getting something that I created. You're getting me gufa. So the point of the Nefesh HaChaim is, and it's a very deep point, which we need to understand a little bit better, but the point of the Nefesh HaChaim is that what's Shaykh Musar here? Musar is to be mechaven you to learn Lishma. But once you're learning, because we said your Shemayim equals Lishma. I made this point a number of times in the last couple of weeks. So the Musar is to be mechaven me, launching pad, get into it, learn Lishma, do it properly. Beside it, learn some Musar. But the point is, I'm certainly not against Musar. But the point of it is, the point of the exercise of learning Torah is you're mistavik with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So why do you have to do something on the outside? If you're learning Lishma, you're mistavik with the Torah. If you're mistavik with the Torah, you're mistavik with the Ratzon Hashem. And if you're mistavik with the Ratzon Hashem, you're mistavik b'hu b'atzmusa yisbarach. So
so I understand that for the Torah, because the Torah is about Hashem. But how about other areas of Torah that are not directly by Hashem?
Who's that? So, what's Torah not by Hashem?
Archibald Peh has
Very good, very good. I'm glad you asked that question. So that's the important question here, and I want to talk about it. But first, I want to talk about something else. I'm going to get back to that in a moment. I want to understand. Let me just do some chazar from Paragimel. Four worlds. Keep it in mind: Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Four worlds. Yeah. In the four worlds, you have the same breakup, if you will, the same breakdown, I should say. In Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, you have Atzilus, which is Atzmusa Yisbarach. You have the world of Ratzon, which is the world of Bria, and then you have Yetzira and Asiya. Asiyah is the ma'aseh mitzvahs we're not discussing now. So let's just keep that in mind. What? Yeah. Asiyah is ma'aseh.
Right, so what's
Dibur? So I'm going to tell you right now that, but before I do, let me just, I'm sorry, my thing is a little, I just want to say like this, that we have to understand that there's Hashem, and then there's the Shemois of Hashem. Now, when we think of the Shemois of Hashem, Yudke, Vavke, Adnai, etc., all the different Shemois for Hashem, those Shemois are not Atzmusa, we can't describe. That's the whole Anim Smiris that we say on Shabbos. We can't describe the Atzmusa Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Anim Smiris is talking about how we tried. But we can't. We tried everything. He's a Zaken, he's a Yotz, he's a Tzoyer, he's a Yotz, everything. What we can do is describe his Shemois. We could say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaRachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Sphirois, right? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisoyed, Malchus. Those are Midos of Hashem. When it comes to the Kesser in the world of Atzilus, we don't really have a way to understand it. The Chazal say, I linked this from Rav Moshe Shapiro, who said this very often, all of a shalom. Chazal say that kol oisi oisav shel ha-Torah shem ois Hashem hema. Every ois in the Torah is a shame. Well, what do you mean it's not a shame? We don't call Hashem Aleph or Bez or Gimel. So what does that mean? So he explained as follows in a very, it's kind of a simple way, or at least I understood it in a simple way. And that is that, you know, like take a child. A child can make a sound. Etc. That sound, or that ois, if you will, g. So that ois is the beginning, the earliest component of a word. And a word is the earliest component of a sentence, and a sentence of a paragraph, and a paragraph to a concept. So when you're talking about the oisius of the Torah, you're talking about the very beginning of the articulation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. And they're all shemos in the sense that this we don't understand Asmusa Yisbarach, but this is the articulation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemos. So there's the biggies, you know, Elohim, Adonai, Yudke Vavke, the Shem Membeis and Ayin Beis and all kinds of things, which are very, very specific. But we have to understand that the whole Torah, and this is Nogel Adidon, the whole Torah is a articulation, the first Gashmius articulation of something Ruchnius, the first paradigm shift that takes place when you're getting from the world of Atzilus to the world of Bria, is the oisius of the Torah. And then, of course, the sentences of the Torah, the words of the Torah, the sentences of the Torah, paragraphs, the concept of the Torah. I'm going to tell you something, David, just to answer your question. He brings here from the Rav Chaim Vital. Hine ha-oisius nirim kitanim b'ksivasam. Oisius like sound like very small. But don't forget, an ois means like a symbol, right? So it's very small. Ach b'sharsham, if you look at the sharish of all the oisius, ein l'shayer u'laharich goydel mehusam v'heim o'ilamais hakadoshim u'b'chol ois yesh kol b'chinas nefesh ruach u'nesham. Now listen to this. If you got that, you got it. But listen to this. Tamei ho'oisius, which part is the tamei ho'oisius? Right, that's the Tamei Ho'isius. So Tamei Ho'isius Neged Olam Ha'atzius Atzilus, the Nigin, the Ta'amim, it's a Nigin. Ha'nekudais Neged Olam Ha'briya, the Nekudais. Ha'tagim, which we don't pronounce at all, Neged Olam Ha'yitzira. Vo'isius, that's the total, the end of the whole thing. Olam Ha'asiya. That's how where it all comes together. Fascinating, by the way. So that's your four worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, which is Taimim. You should make note of this. Nekudos, Tagim, and the Oisius themselves, which is fascinating because why would the Nigin of the Torah come before the Torah itself? Give me a svara here. Why would the Tamim, why does that come before the actual words of the Torah? You say the words, and on them I have an overlay of Nigin and an overlay of Tagim and an overlay of Nekudos. But why would you say the Nigin comes first? So the answer is that a Nigin is, when I say Nigin, the Tamim, that's from a higher place. In other words, that's before. Sometimes there's people that can't articulate something, but they can sing it. Or you can hum it. A Nigin is a very, very spiritual thing in the sense that it's even lamala min ha-seichel. The Nigin is lamala min ha-seichel. Before I put it into musical notes, before I put it into words, the words are the last thing. But the Nigin itself is very, very, so I always say this, I think.
It's commonly said about public speakers that the words are not as significant as the tone and the body language. I forget the percentages, something like 60% and 30% and 10%, something like that, but the tone is much more significant than the actual words. If someone were to say something, the language you don't understand, but you might be able to pay attention, still get something out of it by hearing the...
You know, Lahabdalalaf Abdullah, those that were, listen to music when we were kids on the radio, you know. So probably most of us remember the tune, but we can't remember the words. Right? Like you can make up the words as you go along. You got some of them, you didn't get some of them. The lyrics is not as high, if you will. But I give you another mushel of this where I think Rav Tzadok makes the point that, as I mentioned this before, that if somebody is talking, Dibur, so if you're talking at the same time as me, that doesn't work. That's why we have to mute you. I can't have two people talking at the same time. If you have three people talking at the same time, it's impossible. And, when we do this Friday Zoom with a lot of the kids, like 120 people on the Friday Zoom, Baruch Hashem, so my democratic part of me said, don't mute anybody, let everybody talk. But it's total chaos. You can't have everybody talk and the kids in the background and everybody can't. Doesn't work. So you got to mute everybody. When you can't have two people talking. On the other hand, let's say the chazan is singing in shul. So if the chazan is singing in shul, so okay, chazan singing in shul. Either you have patience for it or you don't have patience for it. That's up to the individual and the generation we're living in. On the other hand, if some people are singing with him, it sounds better. And if two people are singing with him, it sounds better. If 20 people are singing with him, but don't we all miss davening and shul where there's 100 people singing Kedusha, 150 people singing Keladin or Bezus Hashem, the Nigunim of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So why is it, Reb Tzadok makes this point, why is it that when we're talking, nobody could be talking at the same time, but when we're singing, the more the merrier. And even the singing off-key, it works out. Even if they're singing, this one's singing harmony, this one's, everything's good. Everything's good as long as we're all singing together. Unless there's a dissonance as such that the whole place is singing off-key, which does happen in our show. But basically, everybody adds to it. So what's the difference between Dibur and Nigun? The answer is that Dibur is already down here. Once it's down here, it's already in a further level down. You can't have two things going at once. It's already separated. Vayavdil Hashem, Beino Or, Beino Choshech. But when you get to the Makom of Lev, a higher Machshava, let's say, or Lev, or looking at it in the words, in the world of Bria, Atzilus, Bria, in the world of Atzilus and Bria, there doesn't have to, everything works together, and that's where the Nigun is coming from. So therefore, the Tamei HaTayr, where there's Achtus Gemura, comes before first comes the Taimim, then comes the Nekudos. How do you have Nekudos without words? It's so interesting to think about. And then comes the Tagim. And then comes the Ois. In other words, once it comes to the Ois, you can't have two Oisias written in the same place. The Nigun, you could have Achtus Gemura with the Niggun. So those are the four worlds.
So Rebbe, why is it that the thing that has the least ability to be uttered seems to be closer to us? It seems to be closer to the world of Asiya. That seems hafuch.
What do you mean? The ice, you mean?
No, the tagim, that they cannot, there's no expression of them bechlal.
Tagim represents how it looks. Ria. It's part of the Tzuras HaOis. Chatanis Gates, part of the Tzuras HaOis is the Tagim. It has to do with Ria. It's a different place altogether. I want to... I don't hear you well, I'm sorry.
Isn't Sharn, you know, the highest Sharn before he said Avos?
Is Shar Avos? Is that what you said?
Sharnagina.
Ah. Sharnagina is the highest place. Shar Jamois is higher than that. Why? Because what gets closer to the heart and what gets close, it's sort of like the non-intellectual articulation. There is a Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi, right? Rav Chaim's father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father, was the Beis HaLevi. The original Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik. So he says, by the way, as a Rav Shiva Volozhin, he was, like, he said Yesoidus, Mamash Yesoidus, very similar to Nefesh HaChaim. But he says as follows, I have it in front of me. Torah Shebal Peh, Jonathan, I'm addressing myself to your question here, which is very important. Iker Torah Shebal Peh, Iker Torah Shebal Peh, he haklolim v'hamidoi sh'atorah nidreshes b'hem. What is Torah Shebal Peh? Torah Shebal Peh is the klolim v'hamidoi sh'atorah nidreshes b'hem. In other words, the chachomim, that learned well, Hillel, Shammai, etc., or the Chachmei, all the Tanoim. Let's talk about Tanoim. So they had certain klolim, Yud Gimel Dvarim Shatara Nidreshes Bohem, and within those klolim, they were Mechadish Halachas, and they argued about things, and those were the klolim v'hamidois Shatara Nidreshes Bohem. Two things, klolim and midois. Ayidei ha-klolim v'hamidois, I'm reading from the Beis HaLevi, Ayidei ha-klolim v'hamidois Mispareshes haTorah shebiksav. That's how we understand what the Chumash means. In other words, Hashem gave us the Torah, let's say the Aseres HaDibros, and then the Chumash, and then Klolim, and Shloishes HaMidos haTorah nidreshes. Unechadish ba, within that space, says the Beis HaLevi, in the space of the Klolim and the Midos, nechadish ba chidushei dinim u'pratim ein sof. There's no end to the amount of halachas that we could be mechadish. Vahatayra, here's the sentence that I'm trying to say. Vahatayra nitna li Yisrael. The Torah, Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. She yiyu heim darshim oisa. He gave it to us to expand and expound upon. Ukefisha heim maskimim, as long as they agree, al pi aklolim, kein hu ha'emes. So we're all familiar with this, but here's a new way of thinking. We're all familiar with the fact that what the Chachamim say, you know, let's say they say it's Rosh Chodesh, even if it's not Rosh Chodesh, so that overpowers the Metzius. But here's a different Nakuda here. This is don't get mixed up with that. This is something not so common, and that is that the Torah came from Hashem. The Pirush HaTorah, Ayidei Chazal. The klolim and the midos and what we do with that is our job. Like the Gra says, the Goyin says, Hishlich emes artso, as a pasuk. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw the emes to us, and it's part of Malchus to understand it, to diagnose it, to analyze it, to do all of the different things that we're supposed to apply it to other things. That's our job. What does that mean? It means that what we come up with in halacha, chazal, so that's koveya, what the Ratzon Hashem is. You understand this? It's not just that it's okay to do it because Hashem gave us koach. That's good for the Ratzon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon was, and Ratzon is very high, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is whatever our Ratzon is. It's puzzling and fascinating. That's
so that makes sense in terms of Midrash Halakha. And when the saying in the Halakha, but we see Machshava V'Achronim is Machlokas Sin. Some people say, no, that's not Taurus Emes. That's not Ratzon Hashem. When it comes down to this point, if you're learning Nefesh HaChayim, are we connecting through Dibur Ratzon Hashem?
So the answer is, it's all based in Chazal, which is all based in Tanoim, which is Alpi HaKlalim. So, I mean, what we're doing is just trying to understand what they're saying. Or, as Reb Chaim Brisker said, our job is to understand and not to say any kind of chidushim. That's not our job anymore these days. Chidushim means that we understand something we didn't understand before. But that's what a chidush is. But we're not coming up with new things. But the point is that we're dabbling, Sof Kol Sof, even us learning here at Nefesh HaChaim, we're dabbling not just in the Lamaisa, we're actually like way up the ladder, dabbling in the Ratzon of Hashem. So this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu articulated the world, that his Ratzon is our Ratzon. This is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, isn't it? I'd say Ratzoncha Kirtzoinai. Why? Anybody remember? G'day? Shiyase Ritzoinai Kirtzoinainu. Like, in other words, where we're trying to hook up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on a very high level of not just in, you know, some practical footnote down here, but we're actually dabbling in the Ratzon itself of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, says the Nefesh HaChaim, the Yesod of the Nefesh HaChaim is that we believe, unlike any other subject in the world, where you're trying to understand something, we're actually not only trying to understand the Ratzon of Hashem, but we're actually possibly amending the Ratzon of Hashem. So what the halacha comes out from Hillel and Shammai, and maybe even from Rav and Abaya, that becomes the Ratzon Hashem Guf. I mean, Hashem wants us to do this, hence we can understand the Gemara in Menachas Membeis, where Rabbi Akiva was darshaning more. And by the way, what was Rabbi Akiva darshaning? Tilei tilim shel halachas, I'll call tag v'tag. He was darshaning takim, which was, you know, again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about, when we're talking about Atzilus Bria Yitzira Asim, the tagim is in the Olam of Yitzira, which is, by the way, Jonathan, that's the world of Chazal. The world of Chazal is the world of Yetzirah. So if you want to understand, or maybe David said, like, where, what is Yetzirah? Yetzirah, think about the word, by the way. Yetzirah. Yetzirah. In other words, Hashem created the world. Atzilus, Etzu Atzmusai. Atzilus, Bria. That's the Olam Ha'achtos. Yetzirah. Yetzira is where we are getting involved in the actual guts of the world. So we're not just end users. We're actually getting involved with it. As long as we're sticking to the klalim and the principles and the Messiah of Torah Shabbat Peh. I have a... I seem to have a minute to quote Rav Scheinberg at least once in a shir. But I'll tell you something that he taught us. And that is that when it comes to, I remember this when I said, you know, to get smicha from the Rosh Hashiva, which I was zochet to do, it took about, the test was about 20 hours of FaceTime, like 20 hours going back and forth with him, sitting at his table, and demonstrating what the halacha might be and showing it in the Prima Gadim and Svara. And, it was a difficult job, actually, difficult smicha to get. But everybody had their own style of giving smicha. That's how he gave smicha. But one of the things he said when it comes to halachas, always stuck in my mind, Halavai, it all stuck in my mind, but this stuck in my mind, that when it comes to halacha, there are certain things we can do, like there's chumras, there's kulas, there's new applications. You know, like today, it's full new applications. And then when we thought we had it all right, came the coronavirus, all kinds of new applications. And there's been so many different, you know, movements in throughout history that have come up with kulas and with chumras. So he says, but there's certain things, I remember him saying, that you can't dabble with it. You can't play with it at all. And one of them I remember him saying was a halacha l'maishu m'sinai. Halacha l'maishu m'sinai is boom, atzilus to us. And there's no wiggle space there. You can't start being mechadesh halachas. As an example, let's say somebody says, you know, nowadays, black ink is hard to come with. I'm going to make my tefillin brown. Or if the whole thing has to do with Jewish identity, I'm going to make it paisley or turquoise or anything else. No, shachar betvilin, shachrus betvilin, halacha l'moshe misinayu. There's no messing with it. Like, so once somebody comes along and says that you know, tefillin don't really have to be black, you don't have to be so machar, boom, you're out. And as opposed to so many different things, which have indeed, changed according to the Ratzon Chachamim over the years. That's true of many of the klalim and the midos of the Torah. For instance, gzeirah shavah, you can't make up your own gzeirah shavah. You can't make your one of the few things you're only allowed to do is make a kal v'chomer, because the kal v'chomer licked even nowadays you're allowed to make a kal v'chomer. But you can't make a gzeirah shavah. You can't make a mamatzinu. You can't make a lot of the things of the klalim and the different midos of the Torah. But to the extent that we have some kind of bailus on the Torah, where we can innovate in Torah, according to the Kol Yomi, that's what the Beis HaLevi says. But Nachzir L'Inyaneinu L'Didan, what the Nefesh HaChaim is saying, is that so when we do so, we are mistabek boy yisbarach. Even though, again, this is very important for me to understand the detail of this. You have Hashem, you have Ritzoinoi, you have Diburai, and you have Lamaisa. When you do Diburai, which is what we're doing when we're learning Torah, you're right there in Ritzoinoi. You're also right there by. However, we don't even understand what we're doing up there. That part of the chain is too high for us to understand. But what we can understand is the Ratzon Hashem. Five more minutes. Let's go a little bit further. Understood. Am I clear to everybody? Bezesh shekasuv bekama mekoymes b'zohar. It says in many places in Zohar, the kutcha brichu v'ayrei sechad. Right? We all know that. We even have a song. Kutcha brichu v'ayrei sechad. U'gedoy l'mizu, but you can go deeper than that. B'parshas B'shalach, in the Zohar, B'parshas B'shalach, Simen Ayin Aleph, Va'olifna, that means we can learn, like Ulpana, Va'olifna, the Kutchabrichu Torah Ikra. We have learned, from Sukkim, it means the Zohar says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Torah. In other words, one of the shameless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Torah. We know about Yud Kei Vav Kei, Elohim, Adonai. One of the shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Torah, the word Torah. Ve'ein Torah elo kutcha brichu. So says the Zohar. Torah, so it's, when we say Yisrael v'kutcha brichu chadhu, or rather Yisrael v'ayraisa v'kutcha brichu chadhu, so the omek hadavar is that whether you're learning, when we're learning ayraisa, we're learning God. We're studying. Let's sit down and learn some God now. That's what it means, according to the Zohar. And here, let's get started on this. I'm sorry? Let's get started on this, which is way above our head, but let's make a start on it for Thursday. V'gam kishor she'elyon shel ha'Torah kadosha. When you get all the way up to the real root of Torah kadosha, who... you have approached infinity. When you get all the way up to the Shoresh, what's the Shoresh HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Infinity. Side, that's the side, this is the Kabbalistic side, that's what he means when he says side, of Hamalbush Hanelam. Quote, Hamalbush Hanelam. That's a thing. Hamalbush Hanelam is a Kabbalistic thing. Hanisker, and it's referred to Besisrei Pliyos Chachma Mitayrus Rabbeinu HaRizal. It's referred to in many of the writings that came from the students of the Arizal. Shehu Reishis Soid Oisius HaTorah HaKadosha. And this is the beginning of the secret of the letters of the Torah. K'ma Shekasav Hashem Kanani Reishis Darkai Kedem Mifalav Miyaz. So there's a thing called Malbush HaNelam. So let me just do a haschal of trying to understand Lefi HaSagaseinu and Makam Shiyodeinu Magas. Like, what is the Malbush HaNelam? And the answer is that, first of all, historically and politically, the Arizal that we learn comes from Reb Chaim Vital. He had the smicha of Reb Chaim Vital, of the Arizal of Reb Chaim Vital, and that's the Kisei. Reb Chaim Vital mentions nowhere the whole inyan of Malbush HaNelam. How do I know? Someone told me. It doesn't mention. However, there were other Talmidim of the Arizal, not the Reb Chaim Vital. There was the Rama Mipano, there was the Sorek, there's a lot of different Talmidim of the Arizal that ended up in Spain and Italy and different places in Eretz Yisrael itself. They had a little bit of a different Kabbalah from the Arizal, but we don't learn it so much because it's people learn the Rama Mipano to fill in the gaps of Reb Chaim Vital. Or you can say that if it's not in Reb Chaim Vital, we just shouldn't go there. So one of the yesodos of the Rama Mipano, which he talks about a lot, is the Malbush HaElyon, HaNelam, rather. Malbush HaNelam. I'll tell you something. There's a famous Kabbalah Sefer called the Leshem. Familiar? So the Leshem was Rav Yashav's grandfather. To give it some perspective. The Leshem, like a popular Kabbalah Sefer for those that are in the Inyanim of Kabbalah, but the Leshem is Kabbalah not only according to Reb Chaim Vital, it's Kabbalah also according to the Rama Mipano and the others. So that's like the whole thing of the Leshem. So it's not just another way of understanding. It's another way of understanding the Arizal, but it's a derech that many, many Mekubalim don't want to take. So that's just, I'm just giving you Arum and Arum. What does it mean? So the answer is, I don't know what it means. And the reason why Reb Chaim Vital didn't write it is probably because none of us know what it means. Malbush HaNelam, what does it even mean? But I could just tell you one small thing that I think we can understand. Let's say us, we wear a malbush, yeah? Now, what is the purpose of that malbush? Why are you guys all wearing a shirt, and clothing? So the answer is, has two purposes. Maybe it has many purposes, but there's two that I want to point out. One purpose of clothing, gets us right back to Gan Eden, is this is how we present ourselves. We think we could tell a lot. I don't believe we can, but let's say by the type of a kippah a person is wearing. I don't think it means anything because you don't know what a person believes in their heart. But it's a malbush which is trying to exhibit and a certain type of, this is how I want to present myself. Same thing is true with a tie or with a suit or if you're wearing a rabbinic lavush or, a tie-dye, hippie lavush. It's really lavushim, which is a big concept in Kabbalah, but I'm just giving a mashal. Lavushim is very much the way something appears and the way the person inside those lavushim wants to present himself, whether he's entitled to or not. Maybe like you're presenting yourself like a Talmud Chacham and you're not, or like an Amoritz and you're really a Talmud Chacham. But the point is, that's how you want to present yourself. The other purpose, that's one. The other purpose of lavush is privacy. Emes? In other words, I don't need you to see everything about me. It's private. whether it's because I'm ugly or it's because I'm beautiful, it's private. You know, and that's the second thing. The whole Kabbalah, even the Arizal, is talking about Levushim. But he's talking about the Levushim of the Sfirais, the Levush of Chesed, the Levush of Yisoid, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisoid, Malchus. They all have Levushim. We'll get to that some other time. The Levush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmai has, kivyachol, two purposes. One purpose is, this is the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malbush. And what the Rama Mipano says is the Malbush Elyon, listen to these words, are murag, are woven, shesi ve'erev, im oiroi shalhu atzmusai. Gevald. It's a woven baguette, woven, what's the thread of this baguette, which is woven, shesi ve'erev? Now, again, I'm not pretending to understand this, but I'm just saying that it's a fascinating thing to think about if you have somewhat of a visual mind. The Oyrei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is woven in there, and that has two parts to it. One of them is to cover the aura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other one is, this is my shame. This is how I want to display myself. Very much like the same way we're called. We have a name. It has two different purposes. I just give you a mushroom before we hang up, if you give me one more minute. But my son, Sender, who's a Rav in Norfolk, Virginia, so lately with the whole situation's going on, he's been sending out a daily, I don't know, it was a halacha, a machshava, like a voice block, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So I listen to it mostly because I have nachas from it, but he says some good stuff. But he was saying on Thursday, I want to quote him, he was saying on Thursday that on Thursday he officiated a funeral in Virginia. And when you go to a funeral, he pointed out, like, how you come to the funeral is, like, very important. Like, you don't come to the funeral, you know, with your open convertible blasting music, you know, of the day. That's not the way to come to a funeral. Come to a funeral, you have some respect. How you come is very, very important. To a funeral, we dress a certain way when we go to a funeral, usually a certain thing. For a rabbi to come to a funeral, so there's a certain, and he's better at it than I am, there's a certain, a certain type of a smile or a certain, maybe a comfort, a certain sympathy. A lot of it what you come wearing on your face. And that has a big effect on the avelim and the whole mood of the place. So he got out of the car at this funeral on Thursday, and he had to put his mask on. So now he put the mask on, he realized, I mean, I'm sure he realized it before, but he realized in a very clear way that he is not able to kind of do his thing, the things that we take for granted, the smiles that we give, the way we're affecting everyone around us with our body language and with our facial language, covered up. It's covered up, a mask. It's masked, literally masked. And he was explaining how this was upsetting to him because he felt handicapped at the funeral to not do what he normally does quite well at a funeral. But he said he expressed that after about a minute or two, it actually gave him a very, very deep sense of inner peace, because true, he wasn't able to express everything that he felt to everybody around him, but he was also given a certain privacy to be able to have the feelings. That was happened to be somebody that was close to him, to have the feelings without being on display. Like, these are my feelings. I'm allowed to have my own feelings. You know, so that's like the mask, like a Musar Haskel for today of what's going on. You know, where, you know, when I go to our minyan and shul, and you know. You can see people's eyes, you can see their ears, but you can't see the smile. you can't see the smile. And you have to imagine what's going on, or you have to be able to try to read the eyes or something like that. But you can't, you start becoming a bucky in Chochmas HaMetzach. But, you know, you can't see what you want to see, and you can't display what you want to display. So this is, I think, our Hakdama just saying his thing as a mashal, but this is the Hagdama to the Malbush HaNelam. The Malbush HaNelam, when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I want to go further into it, what it means in terms of why the Nefesh HaChaim is bringing it, what Malbush HaNelam has to do with the privacy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol on the one side, and that's a mask made, woven out of, like he says, the Ramami Pano, woven out of the threads of the light of Huatz Musay. And then there's the expression, the other side of the mask, which is the side that everybody can see, and we can analyze. It's all, and that's the Malbush, that's where he says Torah belongs. We don't know what's going on behind the mask, but we do have some license to approach from the mask on. And that is Limud HaTorah. So the summation of the whole thing is that understand when we're learning Torah properly, Lishma, we're Mechaven Ardas, to learn Lishma, we are Isaac Ba'atz Musay Shalak Adish Baruch Hu. Ein Lecha Dveikus Gadol Mizu. And that's the omic of what he's saying. Okay. Amarti, thank you very much. Thank you.